The Sportscast, November 11th on a Wednesday night, 2020 AD. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're in iTunes, leave a rating and review. If you're in YouTube, please subscribe, hit a like. And we're also on DAB, online digital radio. You can listen to us there. And if you like it radio style, spontaneous, go there. And you can listen to our radio on the Sportscast app for iPhone or on the Sportscast website, thesportscast.net. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1. Exciting things happening on the Sportscast 1. This week, the SEC was hit hard by COVID. COVID got to SEC. Eventually it did. It happened this week. A couple of games canceled. But we got a man that used to play in Alabama, that used to live in Tuscaloosa, Matt Cadell. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. And first, I just want to give a shout out to all our servicemen and servicewomen who have served our country, whether in the past or in the present. Just wish them happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day as well here at the Sportscast. We love our veterans. We got a few that listen in this show and everything else. So, Matt, tell me, how have you been this past month and your overall look on the SEC?
I've been doing pretty well. I've been having SEC football. So up until this week, I just think the SEC is, you know, kind of how I predicted. I predicted Florida coming out the East and, like, you know, Bama coming out the West. But, you know, big surprise for me is Arkansas. I think Coach Pittman's doing a very good job with that program. They have a really good defense. They just know how to, you know, beat teams in the SEC. You know, Texas A&M, I think with Kellen Mond, they're finally turning around. So they could possibly hop into the playoff as of late. And, you know, I just think, you know, Georgia, you know, just with them, their quarterback, this is their biggest issue. I don't know what it is about quarterbacks. You know, I thought Tennessee was going to be a little bit better this year, but they seem to kind of be, you know, digressing. Muschamp at South Carolina, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if he's going to be there, be out this week or another 2 weeks. So he's going to have to win some games. So, you know, Auburn, they beat LSU pretty bad. So it was very surprising to see LSU just really struggle. So all in all, you know, I think SEC is doing well. You know, Mississippi State started off, you know, really on fire that first week versus LSU. But, you know, I think everybody knows how to defend them. And, you know, with Ole Miss, you know, Lane, I think once Lane gets his guys, they're going to be, you know, very more competitive in the SEC.
Before we move forward, what were your thoughts over the Florida and Georgia game, which Florida won 44-28? I was surprised when I saw the score, but what were your thoughts about it?
You know, Florida took the lead. I think it was like 41-24 at halftime. And, you know, I know Georgia has a lot of injuries and their quarterback players was really hurting them. But, you know, for Florida to only score 3 points in the second half, you know, I still think they haven't made to that elite level like Alabama. I know Georgia has a good defense, but, you know, Florida should at least put at least 10 or 14 points up in that game. To me, they're good in the East. But I still think they're vulnerable where, you know, a team like Alabama can really dominate them for four quarters. You know, Georgia, I just think they just hit hard with injuries. They really haven't found a quarterback. So, and they had chances even with the backup in the second half to come back. So it was just shocked that Florida just didn't have that kind of killer instinct. But, you know, Florida has a lot of talent, speed all around the ball. You know, Kyle Trask is up for, you know, one of the Heisman races, as well as Mac Jones. So, you know, I think it was past due for Dan Mullen to beat Georgia, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that affects recruiting for both schools.
Yeah, Georgia, you know, one of the top two recruiting schools in the country, did not perform well this game. And I mean, I guess there's some cases where, you know, like the recruiting ranking doesn't really translate into like the results on the field. But what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you. I mean, obviously, if the recruits come in for, you know, teams like Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, you know, it's going to, you know, show in the program and, you know, being in the college football playoff, things like that. But for Georgia, it hasn't. So, You know, I don't know what's going on over there. I know he had a new offensive coordinator, things like that. It's just, I mean, everybody was hyping their defense, but Alabama put up, what, 41 on them. Florida put up 44. So I don't know. Things are going to help affect them probably in a negative way in recruiting, especially for some, you know, in-state guys where, you know, it's highly competitive for either, you know, Alabama or Georgia and places like that. So, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I guess it's, I don't know. I guess they're just struggling. But, I mean, like you said, they've had two number one recruiting classes and it hasn't showed on the field. So, you know, I don't know what the talent, the recruits are going to look at that and say. So, but, you know, Kirby's a good recruiter, so he just has to translate it on the field.
It will be quite interesting what happens, and you're right, the players that are on the fence of where to go, they might second guess with Georgia, perhaps go to Alabama, but of course there's other teams involved. But Alabama is not a bad choice, as we both know. Another big matchup was Clemson and Notre Dame. Notre Dame won in overtime, 47-40. That put Alabama to number one. Notre Dame obviously did not have Trevor Lawrence on the field due to COVID. What are your thoughts about that result?
I was very surprised, you know, especially on the defensive end for Notre Dame. You know, they were getting a lot of push on the quarterback. It was a close game. We're going back and forth. But, you know, Clemson, kudos to them. You know, they're playing with the backup quarterback. They took it to overtime. You know, it was just a good game. You know, kudos to Notre Dame. You know, I think they finally have the personnel from that, you know, disastrous blowout in the national championship game versus Alabama. But, you know, they look pretty good. I'm happy for them. So it's going to be interesting, you know, what does Clemson do? Does Trevor Lawrence come back? Like, you know, because if I'm in my mind, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, you know, I had the COVID, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm coming back. You know, I'm just going to focus on getting prepared to either be with the Jets or the Patriots or, you know, maybe the Falcons. But I don't know if I come back. But, you know, it probably will. But, you know, it's going to be interesting because they'll probably play again in the national championship. I mean, ACC championship. And if Notre Dame wins, you know, that's definitely going to put Clemson out. But if Clemson wins, I don't think you get two ACC teams. So that's going to be kind of tough. I think you definitely have Alabama in. You definitely have probably Ohio State. I don't know about the West Coast. I think it's you might be able to have two, maybe a Clemson and Notre Dame. So that would be pretty interesting.
You brought up something very significant there, Matt. Trevor Lawrence not coming back into the college football field, which I think I heard something earlier this week as well. How significant is that? Do you think that'll be a very strong consideration from him? I mean, you know, there's nothing else to prove for him. He knows he'll be a first round draft pick, possibly a number one. But do you think there's a very strong possibility he would not step on a college football field again?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a strong possibility, but me just thinking about it, like if I'm in his shoes, you know. I played and I watched the backup quarterback. You know, I can
which he's pretty good too.
Yeah, he's pretty good, and I can easily say, you know what, I'm just going to focus on, you know, the NFL. You know, working out those type things, and I don't think it's going to hurt the team. You know, it's just that, you know, he's proved. I think he's won two national championships. He's been one of the top quarterbacks the past, you know, 2 to 3 years. So, I mean, I don't think he has anything to prove for him to go out there. You know, maybe possibly risk injury. I just don't think that's a smart idea. If I was him, I would just sit out. I mean, you already played some games, so if it was me, I would just sit out. What are your thoughts?
Unless he doesn't want to play for the Jets, he would play.
Yeah. I think the Jets are just trying to get more first-round draft picks, so I think somebody's going to come up, want that spot. For Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if it's maybe the Patriots. You know, they usually have a lot of picks.
I was about to say the Patriots because the Patriots couldn't make a move to tank to get this guy.
Yeah.
And knowing the Patriots, probably, they probably spoke to his people.
Yeah, the Patriots probably finished, what, maybe like they'll probably easily have a top 10 draft pick. And I think what the Jets are trying to do is accumulate as many draft picks as possible. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody, you know, jumped up there. Maybe, I don't know what's going to be with Garoppolo and San Fran. Maybe Shanahan jumps the gun or, you know, anything. So I definitely wouldn't be surprised to see the Patriots might try to grab Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence could replace anyone in the NFL right now, Matt or Cadell. Easily. It's unbelievable. Easily. I've never seen anything like this. Maybe since Dan Marino.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. But
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see. I think if he gets to a good situation, you put some pieces around him. You know, I'm just focused on this Patriots. If he gets the Patriots, maybe the Patriots, you know, pick up like a Waddle or, you know, Devontae Smith and, you know, just put more pieces around him, they will be, you know, in contention, I believe.
Interesting. You put an Alabama player there, Waddle. Anyways, right now, the top 25, Alabama's number one back at it, which is not very foreign to them. Notre Dame, Ohio State, and then Clemson. Then Texas A&M, which you mentioned earlier. Florida, mm-hmm. Cincinnati, BYU, Miami, Indiana. How do you feel about Alabama's prospects? Obviously, you know, there's been some second thoughts about their defense, but is Alabama on their way to stay at that number one spot?
You know, I believe so. I think they've hit the hardest part of their schedule in the first six games, you know, obviously playing Georgia, you know, Tennessee's a tough out, those type games, you know, and I think, you know, playing Lane Kiffin and that type of offense, it's so challenging. I think that's what helped boost our confidence moving forward. I think the defense took on a lot of ownership and just changed their mentality moving forward. So, you know, Auburn's going to be a tough out. So I think for Alabama right now, they just got to focus on improving, getting better, you know, just finding ways to replace Waddle down the field if they have to. But, you know, I don't think it's funny. Like, I was watching the Mississippi State game, you know, I thought I was going to see Baker, and I just think Sark and Coach Saban had such a vanilla game plan for that game to really not show much, and they're probably going to show Baker and them this LSU game, but since we're not playing them, so we probably could be able to go a few more games with a vanilla offensive game plan until we, like, maybe face Auburn, or I don't know about the reschedule of the LSU game. So
yeah, that one's postponed.
I think Alabama's in a place they need to be. Just continue getting better, stay healthy, and just continue to improve.
Yeah, you're right.
Each week,
as Matt mentioned, Alabama has gotten they're over with their toughest part of the schedule. They just went through it. The next couple of games, it's Kentucky, Auburn, and Arkansas. Which Arkansas, you mentioned, they're not as bad as people thought they were. The game they were supposed to play this weekend was the LSU Tigers, the SEC. They were saying today that the game of LSU and Alabama will be postponed because there was an outbreak at LSU. Alabama's been doing really well with these protocols. I think just Saban had a little bit of a mishap. It wasn't that as bad, and also an assistant coach. But they canceled a couple games this weekend: Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Georgia, Missouri, and Auburn and Mississippi State. Matt, it feels like it'll be a SEC. No SEC. I mean, there'll be not as good SEC games this weekend, you can say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's 2020, you know, COVID is spiking up and across the country. So I just think, you know, for the Alabama LSU game, you know, I was just very shocked to hear the news. You know, I thought Ed Orgeron would have broke this news, you know, maybe last week during the bye week. That way he'd probably be a little bit more prepared. So it didn't seem like they handled the situation very well at the LSU program. It seemed like they lacked discipline, but I feel like it just shows you how disciplined Alabama football team program players are. You know, to really take ownership and doing what they can to, you know, stay healthy. And, you know, just spiking, you know, all the way across the country. I think it has something to do with flight. I think airplanes has a lot to do with, you know, you kind of circulate in the same air.
Oh, yeah, really.
Somebody
has you're in a tube.
Spread. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Florida had their big spread a couple weeks ago. They seem to have it under control. So, you know, I just think, you know, this week would be a pretty rough week. But I think, you know, after that, we'll probably be fine with COVID. But, you know, I don't know how the SEC, if they're going to try to reschedule these games. I just don't know, looking at the schedule, I think the SEC championship game is the 19th, I believe.
I will double check on that. I believe it's so. I think it's December 19th. But that's something that within the sportscast we were talking about, like they will have to post. I mean, they'll have to push back the playoffs if they want to reschedule these games.
Yeah, I don't see that happening because you got Kentucky this week, then you have Auburn next week, then you have Arkansas, and I think that puts us at like what, December, first week in December. Maybe you can add them late.
Yeah, but LSU is not really a LSU game decider or anything.
Yeah, LSU still has to reschedule that Florida game. You know, they were supposed to play the LSU Florida game, so that's going to put a wrinkle. So I just don't see a pathway of rescheduling the LSU Alabama game. So
yeah, and the SEC championship game is December 19th, as we mentioned before. So it is a pretty tight schedule because you're kind of kissing towards Christmas and New Year's. Not saying they can play in those weeks, but
yeah. I don't see it. They'll probably just have to play it next year because, I mean, if LSU didn't have to, if they have already played Florida, then you could obviously poke it in, you know, that week before the SEC championship game. I think that's the 12th. So, but since they have to play Florida and probably have to reschedule that game, I just don't see how it's going to happen. So.
And plus, LSU is not playing for a playoff spot or anything.
Yeah.
So, anyways. As Matt was saying, it could be postponed or it could be canceled. No word yet from the SEC. They announced it today. I'm sure we'll get a word with from them this week. But one plus side about these games being postponed is for players to get themselves healthy for the next game. So it's always a good to have a week off because football is brutal when it comes to injuries. Let's look at another conference, the Big Ten, a big game. Maryland, Ohio State was canceled as well. Maryland football had a spike in COVID positive test, and the Ohio State game scheduled for Saturday was is canceled completely. So that will not be rescheduled. Big Ten is also running on a tight schedule. How significant is that for Maryland and Talia Tagovailoa?
I think it's pretty significant. You know, Ohio State's Ohio State, but you know, you look at Talia, I mean, he's just on fire right now with the Maryland program ever since that first game. So he's, you know, he's been putting up numbers, you know, I think better than Justin Fields. So I think that would be a significant game because I don't think the Big Ten has enough space in their calendar to reschedule the game. So, you know, I think Ohio State probably dodged a bullet, but I still think they have to play Indiana and Rutgers. Well, they play Rutgers, but I still think they have to play Indiana, who I think is just – the biggest surprise in the Big Ten this year. So it's going to be challenging. So I was looking forward to Maryland playing Ohio State. I know that would have been a great matchup just to see where, you know, if it was going to be a shootout. I think if it was going to be a shootout, it would be played in more in favor for Maryland to possibly upset. But we'll never know.
We'll never know for sure. The games are canceled. How do you see Ohio State this season?
I think they're pretty good. I think it starts with Justin Fields. He's pretty accurate. You know, he seems to be every game seems he's like 25 of 27 or something like that with a couple touchdowns. They look okay. You know, I haven't been watching. I've been more impressed with, you know, Maryland and Indiana. So I've been kind of like following them. I know what Ohio State brings, you know, how they are. So it's been interesting. But I'm really excited, like I mentioned, about Indiana and Maryland just to see what type of noise they're going to make.
Indiana is right now in the top 10 of the AP Top 25, which was released this week. They're having a great performance. They're not they're doing well in football. They usually do well in basketball, so really happy for them. So we'll see what happens with the Big Ten. Of course, SEC is making a lot of noise. Let's another big news today for an Alabama player. Running back Scarborough. Got signed by the Seattle Seahawks, the practice squad. He was with the Lions but got cut about a couple weeks ago. Bo Scarborough, you're very familiar with them. Do you think this is his break to break in and hopefully Haley have a permanent spot in an NFL team?
You know, I really do think it is. You know, I think they're down in DJ Dallas, and they probably need the spark You know, I think he's kind of fits what they want to do. Just a downhill runner, big bruising type of runner with really good speed. So, you know, I just think that's a good fit. So for Seattle, but I don't think the problem with Seattle is not their offense. You know, they have Russell Wilson. I think the problem with them is their defense. I think Dan Jeremiah posted that the reason they're losing so much on defense, they go majority of the game cover zero and cover one. So I think they need to play more zone, just to kind of keep everything underneath them and, you know, kind of have a bend but don't break defense. So, yeah.
We'll see how what Bull Scarborough does. Of course, he's not had some good luck. He was drafted 2 years ago into the NFL, 2018. So hopefully he'll get a permanent spot. And the Lions was his team that he was really lurking around with, but no luck there. Other Alabama players in the NFL: Tua Tagovailoa, 2-0, Matt, with the Dolphins. Great 2 games. They beat the Cardinals this past weekend by 3 points. Tua's looking good.
Yeah, Tua's looking good. You know, I kind of figured he would have a better career probably in the NFL because, you know, they protect the quarterback a lot more than what they do in the SEC. So, you know, for me, I'm just, you know, I think the football team's kind of the Dolphins football team, especially the defense, is kind of rallied behind Tua. You know, they stopped the LA Rams defense, I mean, offense, you know, with a lot of turnovers and, you know, to stop a Sean McVay-led offense with Jared Goff, you know, could be kind of challenging. But, you know, they took the bull by the horns and stopped them, and they just played Kyler Murray, you know, and Cliff Kingsbury with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald. And, you know, I got to prove, I think, you know, obviously statistically, Kyler Murray had the better game with 3 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing. But I just think Tua, you know, he made the plays that needed to be made in the second game, and he looked very good. So, I think sky's the limit for Tua and the Dolphins. You know, I think if they keep on this track and keep getting better, you know, I think they're on a 4-game winning streak. They have the Chargers this week. I don't think that's going to be a great game. Herbert versus Tua matchup, and I got the Dolphins in that game. It's going to be interesting. So they finish strong. I wouldn't be surprised to see Tua and the Dolphins and Coach Flores in the NFL playoffs.
Yes, which actually I was going to bring that up to you. They're second place in the AFC East. Patriots are looking. I mean, Patriots are not looking good. Jets are definitely another team looking to tank. Can we see this Dolphins team go into the playoffs?
I think so. You know, I think they'll beat the Jets. The game in New England, that's going to be a tough one. But I just think their defense is just so stout. You know, the Patriots don't look the same without Edelman. I just think he's been kind of banged up. And I think they can, I think usually Miami, as I've seen last year, they play the Dolphins, they play the Patriots better in the second game. So I think if they win that one, I think no, they play them in Miami. So that'd be good. And I think they have to go to Buffalo, which is going to be a challenging game because I think, you know, the Bills are getting healthy. You know, even if they lose that game, you know, they're still number two. But, they win that game, you know, they can make a lot of noise and be number one in AFC East. But, you know, Tua's got some great matchups. I just hope he continues to, you know, get better and better because, you know, Miami could be a sneaky team because their defense is so good.
I picked them up for my fantasy team today.
they're so good. Like, he got some good matches. You know, he's got to play the Chargers this weekend. He's got to play Burrow. So Tua Burrow again matchup would be good.
So
I think the
far, the
Dolphins
rookies
win
have been
that.
doing good. Herbert's been doing great.
Yeah.
Tua's been doing good. Love to see the Herbert versus Tua matchup finally, because we didn't see it in college, of course. But this could be an
Yeah.
interesting matchup.
But the end of the matchup I want to see, which I can't wait to see, would be the Dolphins Chiefs. Tua Mahomes. I think that's going to be like, that's
Slingers.
going to be like, that's going to be like box office, especially if Tua's on the like winning streak and they have beaten everybody else and he's just lighting it up. That is a game I want to
Matt, I will watch that game as well. Maybe at the same
see.
time with
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I think it's like week 12 or 13,
I
something
think
like
so.
that.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think I believe it's week 13. So I'll definitely put that on my calendar to watch deep closely and probably not watch Red Zone instead. Four
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers players got into the COVID list, including Ben Roethlisberger. They're 8-0, Matt. They're playing the Jags next. Do you think they'll be 9-0 or 8-1 after this weekend?
No, I think they'll win. You know, I think Ben is going to play, even though he was a little banged up. I think he's had some negative tests since he's tested positive. So, you know, I think they'll be 9-0, and I think they'll be 10-0. So I think it's going to come down to, you know, one of those divisional rivals, whether it's the Ravens or, you know, I don't know if they play the Chiefs. That's going to be one of the teams that probably, you know, maybe give them a blemish. But, you know, it was shocking Sunday with the Cowboys with Garrett Gilbert at the helm. You know,
he's a fourth quarterback. Can you believe that?
Yeah, and they're like, this is what shocked me. Stephen Jones said, we're going to go with Andy Dalton. I'm like, what? Yeah, forget Andy Dalton. Play Garrett Gilbert.
This is interesting. Like that fourth quarterback came to play. He's like, look, I mean, this is my time to shine. If I ever have a shot to be a NFL quarterback, I got to do it within within this game.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Yeah.
Anything else before we head into predictions? Anything else you want to bring up?
I'm just excited, man. We got football. I think everybody's, you know, kind of handling the COVID situation a lot better than what I imagined. So, you know, I'm just excited. Looking to get ready for Thanksgiving. So,
hopefully,
eat some.
Yeah, and then watch some Cowboys. And your boy Dez Bryant is with the Ravens, Matt.
Yeah, Dez.
Which he was active this past weekend, but I think he played a few minutes. I don't know if he played a lot, but I know he was active. He went to unemployed to practice squad for 2 days and then went, you know, straight active. So
I will say this, though. This is my last point. Ryan Clark did bring up a good point. He said if Kyler Murray was at the Baltimore Ravens, they would be one of the top Super Bowl contenders. Instead of Lamar Jackson, I thought that was
really
a very compelling
Kyler Murray
argument. Yeah, because, you know, he's such a great passer. True. He can run. He can do it all. So I think that's a valid point.
Do you think Lamar Jackson, most teams have figured him out yet already?
You know, I just think maybe. I think it's part of that. And I think the way that they try to run their offense, they have to stretch the field with their receivers. They need to, they have to stretch it with the passing game. I know they try to run first, but sometimes you have to pass to run. And I think, you know, not just passing to the tight ends, you know, they're going to get covered. But if you could stretch the field, maybe with a Hollywood Brown at the end of the game, you know, just keep some deep passes going, that's going to really open up their offense. Whereas last year, you know, they kind of took everybody by surprise during the regular season that nobody could stop them. But, you know, they lost in the playoffs. So I just think they have to pass the ball more downfield to really open up and have an effective offense.
And they're not using much with, the running backs with D.K. Dobbins, right? Yep. They're not using him much?
Yeah. Yeah, they run the same, zone read plays. But, you know, I think they need to, just line up in shotgun and you just got to take shots or something. You have to open up the defense because – not they're going to stack the box, cover the tight ends, and really limit Lamar Jackson, as you can see what the Steelers did.
We'll see what happens at the Ravens, because AFC has a lot going up top with the Chiefs, Titans, Bills, and possibly Dolphins. No, I'm kidding. That's too much. That's too much to ask for the Dolphins. You can't put too much pressure on Tua, but Dolphins are looking good. I didn't care if they were going to tank this year, to be honest. But if they were make the playoffs,
I got to make it. If they could just beat the Patriots and if they can finish the division strong and win some other games, beat the Chargers and the Bengals, they have a shot of, they get some guys healthy on the receiver end. They have a shot to really make noise in the playoffs. Maybe be a surprise team.
It would be. But we'll see what happens. We got this month. We got Thanksgiving, and then into December, and then possibly a 16-game playoffs. Matt,
I know. Did they hold 16 on team. Today?
They're open to that possibility, so they have a contingency plan. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not opposed to it, but I don't know. I have to read more into it because I know they released it with the NFLPA, and it's like this letter, and I have to like. I just didn't want to read the letter. It just wasn't sexy enough to read it.
Yeah. You know? I think they'll stick with 7. 8 seems a little much.
Yeah, it's
but I wouldn't mind the college football playoff expanding, maybe to 8.
I agree. You
know, top 4 teams.
This is the best year to experiment it. Best year.
Yeah. Have the top 4 teams maybe take a bye the first round and, you know, maybe have like, you know, A&M play, you know, BYU.
Or like Indiana.
You know, Indiana.
Oh my gosh.
You know, maybe play a Pac-12 team. I think that would be.
Yeah, man. Pac-12, you know, right now they're not looking good with the four. With like with the playoff system right now. Well,
but an 8, you know, that'd be good.
That'd be great, man. Anyways, let's try to land this plane. Predictions Thursday night football, Matt. Colts at the Titans. This should be a good matchup.
I know it's gonna be a great matchup. The Colts are, you know, had them. I was crushing it with them in fantasy, but the last couple of games they've been playing some high powered offense. They haven't been doing as well. They have a really good defense. Phillip Rivers is kind of, you know, finding his niche with this offense. You know, I just think once they get like T.Y. Hilton rolling, they'll be effective. But I have the Tennessee Titans in this one. I just think Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, you know, Derrick Henry, of course, is going to be a little bit much. I just think they have more weapons. But it's going to be a great matchup to see that Colts defense go against this Titans offense.
Is it me, or is this like the best Thursday night football matchup I've seen in like,
it has
like years?
It is. This is going to be a great one. I'm excited. This is going to be a great matchup, and this is going to really make some noise to see who's, you know, seeding in that division.
Yeah, that's very huge. Were you able to see the interception that Rivers threw and Marcus Peters caught it, but it was like 1 second he had it and then dropped it?
Yeah, it didn't look like a pick to me, but they – I don't know. I don't even know what a catch is now in the NFL. So
yeah, I know. It's ridiculous, man. It's really becoming ridiculous. It is what it is. I guess slow motion base, you know, plays a big part when it comes to football. But Matt has the Titans. Derrick Henry. Everyone keeps like this huge debate. Can you name a vintage player from the past that plays like Derrick Henry?
Ooh,
that's a tough one.
I would say Eddie George. I thought he kind of had a similar running
style.
Good
point. Same team.
Vintage player. Maybe Marcus Allen, maybe, because, you know, he kind of had that upright running style. But I think Henry's a little bit bigger.
He's a different animal.
He's a different animal. I just think Derrick Henry is only his own comp, to be honest.
Yeah, his own niche. I heard Riggins was brought up a lot.
Oh, okay.
That's old school.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's old school.
Twitter poll question of the day. Matt should answer this pretty well because he eats. Anyways. Who makes the best ice cream sundae? And these are the options, the fast food options. McDonald's, Baskin-Robbins, Honick, or the Queen.
Dairy Queen?
Dairy Queen, yes.
Oh,
which of these
gosh.
Four?
Well, McDonald's has a pretty good sundae, but usually the ice cream machines are broke, so I'm going to throw them out. Now we have Sonic, Dairy Queen, and Baskin Robbins. Golly. I'm going to go with the DQ, man. I just think they know for ice cream. I just think I'm going to go with the DQ.
DQ is winning on Twitter 54%. Then McDonald's is tied with Baskin Robbins at 14%. Sonic at 8%.
Wow, I thought Sonic would be higher, but I guess everybody gets like their slushies and stuff. Don't really think about ice
cream. And that $1 hot dog at Sonic.
Yeah,
with everything on it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And good point. McDonald's typically maybe 40% of the time, the ice cream machine is broken. You're right. It's
broken. Yeah,
it's kind of weird. But anyways, if you guys agree or disagree, you can go onto the Twitter poll on our Twitter account at the Sportscast1 and vote for your ice cream, your favorite option for that. Matt, what is the best way to reach you online?
Read me at mcadell11 on Twitter, and looking forward to interact with players. And you hit me up on Facebook, and that's it, man.
Yeah, and how has been your Twitter life these past couple of weeks? I mean, have you been using it much?
It's been pretty good. I'm still, you know, I love Twitter just to look at stuff in the news, but I, you know, sometimes I comment on some stuff, but, you know, I like Twitter. I just, for some odd reason, I'm just so engulfed into the book. I just like to see what, you know, people are talking about and everything.
Yeah.
So,
what I recommend, I know Twitter could be very, you know, kind of dirty and messy. Go during football games. It's probably the best. You see some good reaction of Alabama, okay, how they're playing, how bad they're playing, things like that.
Okay, cool.
I'll do that. For sure, during games, it's probably the best time. And on our Twitter, you can reach us at TheSportsCast1 for the latest and greatest. You can see some crazy polls about favorite ice creams or favorite pumpkin pies and things like that. We're random. And, of course, on the website, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest. Read the article about Bull Scarborough and anything else, latest and greatest. We're breaking news as we go. I didn't want to break COVID news, but it's part of the game. It is what it is. Tomorrow night, we got Victor Rocho talking about the Giants, their win against Washington, and some more NFL recap going on. Matt Cadell.
Awesome.
There's no football this weekend. What will you? I mean, well, no Bama football at least. What will you be doing?
I'll definitely probably be, you know, doing some chores, reading a book. No, I'm just playing. No, I'll be watching football, man. I'll probably have to watch some ACC and some big teams.
Yeah, man. Check out your opponent. See what you're gonna face in the playoffs.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. I do some scouting down on them. So yeah.
Oh, hey, for sure gonna watch some Indiana.
Yeah, I love watching Indiana. I love watching Indiana and Maryland. I just like, you know, Talia so explosive with Maryland and Coach Loxley. And
you think Talia will make it to the playoffs? NFL, not the playoffs.
Possibly. You know, I know he's a little smaller than Tua, so I know he'll probably have to bulk up. But, you know, if he can get in the right scheme, he probably could be effective. He probably can have a shot in the NFL.
We'll see what happens. It's only his first year. Well, Matt Cadell.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming to the Sportscast on a Wednesday night in the United States of America.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for having me. Again, salute to our troops, and looking forward to talking to you again.
I concur. Good night.